I've enjoyed so far what I've been able to study on this book, and I believe that the promise of the book that those who read it will be blessed can be ours as we study it. Revelation 1 and verse 4. It's really where John begins to introduce himself. And he says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And who made us priests, made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I want to note verse 8. When you look at verse 8, and when I've studied verse 8, it's quite amazing how many people avoid commenting on it. And in fact, one man I read after said that he'd read over 20 commentaries and there was very little made in reference to John, Revelation 1 and verse 8. Some would say that they don't understand why it's there and the purpose of it being there. As we review just a little bit, John in verses 4 through 6 tells us some wonderful things about the Lord. Of course, Revelation is a book that reveals Christ. And he told us there in verses 4 and 5 some things about the Lord, that he was the faithful witness, that he cannot lie. He always remains faithful. He's called there in verse 5 the first begotten of the dead, because he rose from the grave. It guarantees that we also will rise again. He's the prince of the kings of the earth, which means that he's above all other kings. And of course, in the end of the book, in chapter 19, it says that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Then he said three very powerful things concerning us. It says there in the last part of verse 5 that he loved us. Secondly, that he washed us from our sins. And thirdly, that he's made us kings and priests. And we pointed out to you that after John said all those things, we have that little word, amen, which is brought over even from the Hebrew language. And he's excited about that. And it's like we said, it's like, you know, your team has scored and you high five and you say yes. To say amen is to say, bring it on, let it happen, we're ready. It's an excitement and agreement and a desire to see it come to pass. He just mentions one other sentence in verse 7, and he talks about the Lord coming again, that every eye shall see him, and even those that pierced him are going to look upon him. And he said, even so, yes, even so, amen, let it happen, may it come. And so those things are exciting, those things are wonderful to contemplate. And then here, right before he gets into it, you see in verse 9, he says, I, John, who is also your brother, and he talks about his background and what the vision that he sees. But right there, thrown in between is that verse 8, where he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And so the question is, why did he throw that verse in there? What is the importance of that verse? As I said, some commentators make a little mention of it, but I think it's very, very important. I think one of the things, if you have a red letter Bible where it has the words of Christ in red, this book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, this is the very first place in Revelation that you have the red letters. And it's Jesus speaking when he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And so these words are important because they're right straight from our Savior's mouth. But secondly, I think these words are also very important because you're going to find them repeated over and over. He says there, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And then you've got go down to verse 7, not exactly the same, but he says, in verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And so you see a repetition of that. And then in chapter 21 and verse 6, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I give it unto them of the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So why these words after these two amens? Well, I think that God realizes that his children, the world especially, but his children who have been saved out of the world, that sometimes we're going to, we're going to question whether Jesus is really coming again. Maybe the world's got more of us than we have the Lord. We wonder sometimes how long we have to wait, Lord. If you're really coming, how long? How much worse does it have to get before you're going to come? As the songwriter said, how long until we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Well, there's a question here, and I think that the Lord reminds us, he wants them to understand as he begins to reveal the plan of the ages. He wants us to understand who's talking. Where's the authority in him saying this, that Jesus is coming again? He wants us to stop at times and just say, okay, well, you know, I think too often we say Luke wrote, or you find John said, but and saying that, we forget that, no, John penned it, and Luke penned it, but God said it. And so he says, he right in the middle, right here, before he begins the great revelation, and after he said that the Lord's coming again, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega. Listen, who is talking to you, and the revelation you're going to get here, and the fact that Jesus is coming again, comes from the authority of he who is Alpha and Omega. First he says, I am. And of course, that statement takes us back to Exodus, where the burning bush, and Moses went to the burning bush to see why it wasn't consumed, and God told him to remove his shoes from off his feet because he was on holy ground, holy only because God's presence was there. And he asked him who he was, and he said, I am the I am. And so, the authority of Jehovah God is here. We're going to point out to you shortly that there are seven I am statements, and many of those have the similar words. But there are seven I am statements found in the book of Revelation. There's another book penned by John that has seven I ams. What book is that? The Gospel of John. What's some of the I ams in the Gospel of John? By the way, truth and life, okay. I'm the great shepherd. I'm the bread of life. I'm light of the world. I'm the vine. Yep. And I am the door of the sheep. And I am the light of the world. And so we see Jesus portrayed really in John as the servant. You know, he comes and as a servant and he said, I'm the bread of life. I'm offering you bread that's going to give you life forever. I'm the light of the world. It's serving words. I'm the door, the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And here we find Jesus pictured as in his first coming and serving mankind. Did you also know that there were seven I ams in the Messianic Psalms? What do we mean when we talk about Messianic Psalms? Yeah, there's songs, there's Psalms about the Messiah, the Psalms about Jesus. And let me point out to you some of these I ams. Go with me to Psalms 22. Psalms 22 and verse 6. But I am a worm. Powerful. Sobering. Look over in Psalms 40 and verse 17. But I am poor and needy. Look in Psalm 69 and verse 8. Psalm 69 and verse 8. I am become a stranger unto my brethren. In verse 20 of Psalm 69. He says, reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. And then Psalm 69 and 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. In Psalms 102 and verse 7, a very, very picturesque statement and a very heart-rendering statement. In Psalms 102 and verse 7, he says, I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. A pelican is an animal that usually is not in flocks. It's there by himself, very lonely picture. And then in verse 11, he says, my days are like a shadow that declineth. I am withered like grass. All of these speaking of great sorrow and of great sadness. And they're sad and haunting in their description. And it's no wonder that Isaiah, when he wrote of him, he said, he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And so John paints him in the Gospel of John as, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection of life. And he paints the ministry of Jesus in those words. And the Messianic Psalms really paint some of the sadness of his life in being like a pelican in the wilderness, being, I am a worm. But when we come to Revelation, we find that the servant has left off his serving and he's entered into the throne room. And we're going to see in Revelation the king. We're going to see the monarch. We're going to see the ruler of this world. And he begins there in saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In verse 11, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He's going to say in verse 17, fear not, I am the first and the last. In that chapter 1 and verse 18, a very powerful statement, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. When we get to Revelation 23, he's going to say, I am Alpha and Omega again, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then he's going to say in Revelation 22, 16, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And so why verse 8? Well, verse 8 speaks about the authority of these statements. He is the omniscient Lord. When we mean omniscient, we mean He is the all-knowing. And so when He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the language of the New Testament, when it was originally penned by the different penmen of the New Testament, was the Koine Greek language. The not formal classical Greek, but Koine Greek was the language of the people. And the first letter of the Greek alphabet was Alpha. First letter of the Greek alphabet, or the English alphabet, is, of course, A. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. But Jesus is saying much more than I am A and I am Z. Jesus is saying that I am the alphabet. People who have the alphabet in their language have a tremendous thing, because in the alphabet comes all concepts and thoughts and the communication of concepts, the communication of thoughts, the communication of commands. A people without their language aren't a people. That's why the natives so much want to maintain their language, because their language really affects their culture and their thinking. Well, Jesus is simply saying, I am all of the language. Everything that's said, you know, I mean, I'm a part of it all. I'm omniscient. Jesus is saying there's no reality except in me. Language gives us reality. There's no reality except in me. There's no logic in this world that's not found in me. One of the reasons that I believe that the Bible is the Word of God is because this world makes no sense without the concept of God. How do you make sense out of evolution? How do you make sense out of I just evolved from an amoeba, and when I die, I just go on? The only logical thing in this universe is to understand that there is a God, and He's the law of first cause. And Jesus is saying, I am the whole alphabet. There's nothing logical in this world that cannot be conveyed through language, and I am the language. I am the alphabet. Jesus is saying there's no truth that does not begin and end with me. Truths are conveyed through the mixing of the letters of the alphabet. All reality is found in the Godhead. I think Romans chapter 11 touches on what I'm trying to say a little bit. If you look over there in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, in Romans 11:33, he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed to Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And so all that we have as far as there's really wisdom and knowledge and unsearchable judgments, and it is found in the conveying of thoughts and ideas through language, and Jesus is the alphabet. And so He's saying, look, you guys, I'm telling you that I'm coming again, and I'm telling you on the authority of the fact that I'm A to Z. I contained all knowledge. There is no information, there is no knowledge, there is no truth, there is no understanding, there is no wisdom outside of what I know, and I'm telling you, I'm coming again. He's saying, when I say Christ is coming, I'm telling you there won't be any surprises, because there's nothing outside of my knowledge. I am Alpha, Beta, Gamma. I'm all the letters of the alphabet. I know everything. And since I have all knowledge, there's nothing I don't know about. There's nothing that exists that could happen or ever foil my plan. There are no unknown factors that can sabotage my second coming. And then he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. And there's a lot that could be said about that, and I'm not going to say a lot, but Jesus is the beginning of the measurement of eternity. In the beginning. He existed before the beginning, but beginning of creation was the measurement of time. He's in the beginning. He's the beginning. But let me tell you, he's also going to be at the end of the consummation of time. He's the beginning and the ending. He is not only our Savior, but He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the ultimate cause of all creation. Where did God come from? You know, we say, well, where did the elements for the Big Bang come from? And our answer is God. And they ask us, well, where did God come from? Well, listen, there has to be an ultimate cause. There has to be a first cause. And God's the first cause. He's the beginning. And He'll see it through to the end. Then note in this little verse, not only does it talk about His omniscience, but it talks also about His omnipresence when He says, which is and which was, and which is to come. He doesn't say that I am the one who was there, and the one who is here, and the one that will be over there. He just says, I was, I am, and I will be. And it's all summed up with I am, isn't it? God is affirming His eternal presence. He's everywhere at all times. He's always has been there. He always will be there. And He always is there. His presence is not limited by time or by space. You and I can only know something because we've been there. I've been there and done that. We hear that said today. Been there, done that. I've been to Fossil, Oregon, and I know Fossil, Oregon. I've never been to Nome. I've heard about Nome, but I've never been there. But God is saying, I've been there in the past. I'm there now. And I'll be there tomorrow. And so when He uses these words, which is and which was and which is to come, He's talking about the fact that there's nothing outside of where God is. The concept of God and His filling the heaven and the earth, and even outside of the heaven and the earth, if you can wrap your thinking around that. There's nothing can happen that I'm not around it. There's nothing that can happen after I leave. And when Jesus is saying He's coming, He says it's settled because all matters and all issues and all persons and all events and all places and all realities for all of eternity are knowable and visible and are controlled by Me. That's why in Psalms 2, when the heathen imagine a vain thing, and they said, let us break His bands asunder, that God says, yet I have set in my holy hill, I've set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. And so Jesus is simply saying here, listen, I'm coming again. If anybody knows what's happened in the past, if anybody knows with reality what exactly is happening now, if anybody knows what's going to happen in the future, I, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and was and shall be, I know what's happening. And I'm telling you, I'm coming again. And then he says something to nail it down. He says, the Almighty. Lord, I everywhere present, I know everything, but I want you to understand that I am the Almighty. Knowing everything and being everywhere present would mean nothing if he wasn't Almighty. He will accomplish his purpose in this world. We do not have to worry for one moment that Jesus might not come again. He is coming again. And he will rule and reign in this world. One of the most stirring chapters in the history of England is the time during the supposed Robin Hood, whether he was real or not. It's a time of King Richard the First, who is known as Richard the what? The Lionhearted. And Richard took the knights from England to go into Palestine to try to bring back the Holy Land from Saladin and the Turks. When he was gone, his sly and evil brother John usurped the throne and really misused and abused the people of England. The people of England suffered and they longed for the return of their king, and they prayed that it could be very soon. One day, it came that Richard landed on the shores of England. And he began to march straight to his throne. Of course, many tales are told about that time, among them the legend of Robin Hood. But the castles of John begin to tumble one after another as Richard comes through and takes control and goes to his throne, and none dare to stand in his way. And as King Richard rode through the land, the people begin to shout their delight. The bells in the churches begin to ring, and the great peal of the bells spoke of the great joy of the people. The great lion-hearted king of England had returned, and as he would go by, the people would shout, "Long live the king!" because they loved him. Let me say to you that one day, a king far greater than Richard will come to claim a realm that is far greater than England. He's gone. And there are those in this world that abuse his kingdom. They've seized his property and mismanaged his world. They abuse the loyal citizens of the kingdom. But one day they'll all be swept aside, simply by a word from his mouth. And one day, Jesus Christ will come to reign forever and ever. How do I know that? Because I have it on the authority of he who is the Alpha and the Omega. He who is the beginning and the end. He who is and was, and which is to come. I have it on the authority of the Almighty. Listen. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready for him? What if it were today? Okay. Selah. Anything to share before we go? Chris? Next Sunday? Okay. Is it going to be the same program? Or? Okay, so as many people can go next Sunday to the Pioneers Home, we're going to have some carols.